Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful to be adopted sons and daughters, that our Lord and Savior Jesus shed His blood so that we could be citizens of Your kingdom, that we could enter into the kingdom of Your beloved Son, and through the offering that He made on our behalf, we are in fact citizens of the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom that He has prepared. And I just pray, Father, that tonight as we work through these scriptures, that we would walk away with the firm and clear picture that the citizens that we are of the heavenly kingdom, and that we are there now, today, and forever. We are so grateful for Jesus and for all that He has done on our behalf. And we gather and assemble tonight to pay tribute to Him, to say thanks and thank you and thank Him for His example that He has given us, for walking ahead and providing the path to run on. So we thank You and pray in His blessed and holy name. Amen. As we think of citizenship, as we think of being citizens, we must understand that it is possible to have our rights as a citizen taken away. As a citizen of a country or of a state, your rights as a citizen can be taken away if any of the laws of that state or country are broken. You see, any time there is citizenship involved in any situation, there is opportunity provided to those citizens that are not available to non-citizens. And that's true for my wife, actually. She is decided that she we weren't going to effort that becoming a citizen just because of some different things involved and whatnot. But the truth is, she doesn't have the same rights that citizens do have. And in fact, she could be deported at any time if she gets in any kind of trouble. So maybe I shouldn't have told any of that. No, just kidding. Though it's just the citizens have certain rights that non-citizens don't have. And because we are in Christ, Ephesians tells us that we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places with Christ in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Notice the tense here in these verses. Notice when we're going to be raised up. It's already done, isn't it? He's already done it. He says, we were dead, and He made us alive, and He raised us up with Him, and we've been seated with Him in the heavenly places. It's already done. Certain things will happen to us before we finally arrive in heaven, but our citizenship, if we are in Christ, are as definite now as it will be then, today. There will be a physical translation when we die, but spiritually, in Christ, we are already there. And we belong there. That's where our citizenship is. But when we view one another with the eyes of the flesh, we are only able to see the things of the flesh. We're not able to see with the eyes of the flesh the inner man. Jesus said in John chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting, and I would not be handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this place. It's not of this realm. It's somewhere else. So where is his kingdom? Well, we know his kingdom is not of this world. We know that much. We know what, wherever it is, we're seated with him in it. And we might observe some behavioral differences pertaining to our church habits, pertaining to our personal habits, but the Christian lives in the spiritual realm. Or he better be. I'll put it that way. This is a definite, there is a definite difference between the citizens of the world and the citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And until Christians begin to see those differences, we're not going to have any power or any incentive to live otherworldly. We have to be apart from the world. We have to be aliens and strangers. The Bible is very clear in explaining the differences between the citizen and the alien. Look, there's only two kingdoms, right? You're a citizen of one or the other. You're going to serve somebody. Who are we going to serve? There is a kingdom of darkness, and a kingdom of light. You're either a citizen of heaven or a citizen of the kingdom of this world, a kingdom of God or a kingdom of Satan. It was mentioned this morning, a kingdom of light or a kingdom of darkness. What's it going to be? Christians are raised up with Christ. According to Colossians 1:13, we have been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred, already done, to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Ephesians 2:6, as we read, we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our current full citizenship in heaven is very well documented New Testament truth. We have to begin to understand this and believe it in order to be triumphant and victorious in our role in the kingdom. We have to believe that we are now as fully accepted and established by God in that heavenly home as we will be when we get there after death. Now, we must understand that if we're going to function victoriously, we have to understand this fact. If we're going to function effectively as ambassadors, as Caleb put, in this present age, we need to understand this. We need to get this picture right. So what are the characteristics of this spiritual kingdom? Well, First and foremost, it's of the characteristics of the king, isn't it? Let's turn to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, in verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ," let's grab 15. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." You see, the point here is that Jesus is the center of the focus. The king is the center of the focus. He is the kingdom. So what's the characteristics of the kingdom? The characteristics of the king. Do we know what that is? Do we know what that character is? Yeah. He's given us ample information on that, hasn't he? This is not a democracy, by the way. We can't vote him out. We can't outvote him. The truth is the truth whether we choose to believe it and live it or not.
The king has spoken. He decreed it. He the king.
The kingdom operates according to the king's decrees, the king's laws. It operates based on the kind of king that he is. We even see that in the Old Testament examples. The kingdom was often an exact representation of the king himself. So the character of the king dictates the character of the entire kingdom. In our situation, the character of God dictates the character of the kingdom and of its people. Scriptures paint a stark contrast between the prince of darkness and the prince of light. Remember, two kingdoms. Which one are you going to be a citizen of? Again, for what we read in Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping. Weeping. That they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Citizens of this earthly kingdom, enemies of the cross. Unfortunately, we live in a day when it's become ammunition for a lawsuit by speaking the truth. It's become known as politically correctness. Society and even religiosity will say it's not politically correct to say that all who are not born again in the way that the Bible spells out, no matter how nice they are, no matter how noble, no matter how courageous, no matter how religious they might be, no matter how faithful they are to that religion, and no matter what their status, what their social charitable contributions are, no matter what, if they haven't contacted the blood of Christ, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. It's just biblical truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, because they're enemies of the cross of Christ, the cross of Christ doesn't make them our mortal enemy. Paul says here that he's weeping for them. Weeping. But we don't want to go out and shoot them. We want to win them, right? Well, sometimes we might want to shoot them, but we want to win them. What is that song, Steve? God is good. There's great people are crazy or something like that. Oh. It's strange. A lot of times from up here we reference the man and the man is here. So I had to get you involved. That's what it means to be a citizen of a different kingdom, of a heavenly kingdom, is we think differently, don't we? We might want to kill them, but we're not going to. No. You talk to people that say, oh, I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. I believe Jesus. I read the Bible and I have a personal relationship with God. Besides, I'll just follow what my pastor tells me. Well, I can't really understand the Bible anyway, right? Let's leave that for the pros. You know, I was raised and taught by this particular way. It's close to what you're describing. It's close. Listen, close is not close enough. We got to be spot on if we want to be citizens of this kingdom. Jesus himself said to those professing to have prophesied in his name and cast out demons in his name and done all these great religious things in his name, said, I never knew you. Depart from me. Close enough doesn't going to get it. Close enough isn't what you want to base your eternity on. No one would. And these people are not necessarily against us. They have great belief. They hold Jesus in the highest regard. They have the utmost respect for God. They pray to God all the time. They believe in angels. They're trying to live godly lives, knowing that God's watching. All of these things. They're trying to practice political correctness. But the Bible says they are enemies of the cross of Christ until they become citizens of the kingdom. Our job is to be its ambassadors, as was brought out. Our job is to win them. To win them through God's word and through the love and compassion of Jesus. That's our job. But God became a man out of His great love for us. Even while we were enemies, as we read, He went to a Roman cross, was executed, His blood was poured out, He died while we were enemies of His. The only way to be pleasing to God, the only way to be right with Him, the only way to be true citizens of heaven is to be a friend of the cross of Christ. Not an enemy. And not just a friend, but a slave, a bondservant. Right? A free will. The blood of Jesus is the key that opened the gates of heaven. How are you going to expect to get there without contacting His blood? Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we have Peter preaching the gospel for the first time. And remember, Peter, as we read earlier, was given the keys to the kingdom, right? In verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." You done messed up, boys. And it says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" They were pierced through the heart, says. They were convicted. Oh man, we are enemies of the cross. We did mess up. What are we going to do now? What can we do? In verse 38, Peter, with the keys of the kingdom, responds this way: "Repent, and each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Well, who's the Holy Spirit? Jesus is the Holy Spirit, right? Who comes to live in you when you are washed with the blood? Jesus. So how do I walk in that citizenship? Well, I better walk like Jesus did. Right? How did I get seated with Him in glory? It's because Jesus, who came to live in me, and I in Him. Anybody who tries to get in another way, Scripture said, and Jesus Himself, is a thief and a robber. In John chapter 10, verse 1, He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up another way, he is a thief and a robber." They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, there are people born into certain situations, right? Born into other countries like Belarus and Russia and England and different places than America. Born into religious cultures other than American, other than what we would subscribe to here. And simply because they were born in this specific place, they're viewed as enemies of America. Even though that's not true. My wife and I have had discussions about our childhood and our upbringings. And she was taught that Americans are evil and we were taught Ruskies are evil. And that was never true. We didn't hate each other. It's a lot of times perpetuated by agendas. But I'm getting way off on a tangent here. People in these situations are born into these cultural differences, these religious differences, the these all of these differences. And oftentimes, you know, Catholicism, it's contrary to the teaching of Christ. Well, I was born and raised in a Catholic household. My entire family is Catholic, going back many generations. What are you going to do? Oh, well, in that case, have a nice life. Be warm and filled. What can we do? They're foreigners, right? They're our enemies. What can we do? What can we do? Bring them in. Right? What's the song we sing? Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in Chinese. Bringing in Chinese. We've got to bring them in. There's no such thing as illegal immigrants in the kingdom of Christ, right? We have open borders. But you got to come in the right way. Katya could tell you a couple of hours worth of conversation about a relative of hers who tried to come in the wrong way. You got to come in the right way, or you ain't coming in. But the enemies, it says their end is destruction. Their God, and their God, their master, their ruler, is their appetite, their gut. Because they're going to do what they want to do. Right? People are going to do what they're going to do. The glory, their glory is their shame. They set their mind on the earthly things. They're things opposed and contrary to the spiritual kingdom. Sounds like the other kingdom. Salvation for the enemies of the cross of Christ is in the blood of Christ. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven, number one, recognize the king. Okay? And number two, they surrender all allegiance to the king. They want to please him. Their lives are dominated by Jesus in their service to him. They're directed by what would the king do? What did the king do? We're concerned with his good pleasure, with his good will. We're concerned with seeking first his kingdom. The king under a different government, under a different kind of law. What is the law? The law of Moses was nailed to the cross, right? It was under the law of liberty. Are we under I don't want to get off on that tangent. So we have grace. Yeah? Paul writes to the Romans, to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 6, some really good information for us to remember. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin continue to still live in it? We get to continue in sin because of grace, right? God's graceful. He likes to be graceful. Why not? Is that what it's saying? Oh, no. Wait. He says, no! We left that kingdom, didn't we? We left that country behind. No way! He says in verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into His death? See, this is the exact moment where we took our oath of allegiance to the King. Right here. In verse 4, therefore we have been buried with Him through the immersion into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, newness of that kingdom, a brand new economy, a brand new culture, a brand new place to dwell. Outside of Christ, we were not free. Jesus said, you're slaves to sin. What are you talking about? Never been slaves. We live We lived in obedience to sin and in obedience to Satan, whether we recognize that or him or not. That's true. But as citizens of heaven, we are freed from sin. Not free to sin. Free from sin. Slaves of righteousness. Bond servants. Volunteer army. Not under the law of Moses, but under the law of liberty. And we are free from the law of sin and death and live under the law of life in Christ Jesus. And we look forward to heaven. We talk about it. We read books about it. We sing about it. We long for it, right? Honestly, most of the benefits that we desire, that we have so anxiously, that have us so anxious for heaven, are in effect and available right now. Today. Because see, it says he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's a done deal. We're already there. So the characteristics of the kingdom is the king, right? The different government, different law, and its citizens are entitled to different rights and privileges. We are blood-bought Christians who have obeyed the gospel and are entitled to do certain things that citizens of the world are not entitled to. We have constant access to the king. Think about that for a second. Never in history has that ever been the case. In fact, we're encouraged to go into the king and hang out. He wants us to. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Grace, the divine influence working in the inner man. We might need some of that, right? Draw near to the king. He wants to help us. We are ruled by a king who wants our fellowship. He is concerned about us. He is quick to confess that he knows us. He calls us friends. He counts every hair on our head. And whatever circumstances that you find yourself in, he's with you. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28 and 18. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, what? All that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." He's with you. You doing the family business, he's with you. Oh, we must be about the family business. We must be about the business of the king if we're the citizens of this kingdom. We must be involved. In closing, turn to John chapter 3. Most of us are pretty familiar with this. It's a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus at night. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot re-enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Did you catch that? Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot be a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. There's a lot of people walking around out there thinking that their citizenship in the heavenly kingdom, but their passport is not in order. And they're told that it is. Their birth records are not in order because they're still born of woman, not of born from above, like it says here, the literal. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them the truth? So we are. As ambassadors, right? As His ambassadors. Look, in Matthew chapter 7, kind of, we have already looked at a portion of this. In verse 21, He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." What kingdom are we going to be citizens of? And if we're citizens of that kingdom, we have the family business to take care of, right? That's what we got to do. Family business of saving souls. And if we do that, if we seek and save the lost, like He said, He's with us always. And that we can take to the bank. All right. Thanks for your attention.